Welcome to the Liquid Church Podcast, a place where you can hear the timeless truth of God's Word in a way that's culturally relevant and cutting edge. We hope you'll discover how God's story relates to your own and that you will leave feeling encouraged. Thanks for joining us today and enjoy the message.
All right, what's up, Liquid? Let's give a big welcome to all our campuses and here for those couples sharing honestly. Hey, I'm Pastor Tim, and I want to welcome you to the kickoff of Crazy Stupid Love. It's our spring series all about relationships. Now, we have a lot planned as a church, so let me tell you about two things you may be interested in. First, we're having a single adults mingle on Friday, May 3rd at 6:30. We have actually two events for singles between the ages of 30 and 45, and then one for singles 45 and older. This is a kind of a community building event. Think networking, but a lot more fun. It's like kind of community speed dating without all the awkwardness, all right? So that's going to open April 21st, registration online. Save the date, invite a friend. Then secondly, we're hosting a date night experience with comedian Michael Jr. and his wife on Saturday, May 11th. This is a fun night for couples. You might be dating or you're married. Just a chance to laugh and get inspired. 2-hour show. And Michael Jr., you guys may know, he's hilarious. He's been on The Tonight Show and Jimmy Kimmel. I'm told that tickets are almost gone on Eventbrite. So do not wait. Grab them today if you're interested. And men, May 11th is Mother's Day weekend. So like we set you up, take your lady out to dinner, and then come to Liquid and laugh and learn together. So we're setting you up for success, guys. You're welcome. Now, we are calling this series Crazy Stupid Love because I think we all need to be able to laugh at ourselves a bit, you know? Whether you're single or married or single again, I think there's something in this series for everybody. And I just hate messages that make you kind of feel bad about your marriage or being single. So this month, I want us to laugh a lot. Is that okay with you? Are you all right to laugh as a church, all right? Church is fun. Today, we're going to have fun. I want to keep it real. I want to talk about the reality of marriage. So let me share a Bible verse that I think is a reality check. In fact, listen to this. If you follow the advice in this verse, I guarantee you, you will never, ever, ever have a problem in your marriage. Are you ready for it? 1 Corinthians 7:1. It is good for a man not to marry. There you go. Okay, there he is. Okay. I know all the ladies are like, what a terrible thing to say. Why would he say that? Because the Bible promises, look at this, 1 Corinthians 7:28, those who marry will face many troubles in this life, you know? I'm always amazed, people come up to me and they're like, Pastor Tim, we have a problem. I'm like, what's the matter? They're like, well, we have trouble in our marriage. And I'm like, that's not a problem, that's a promise of God. Those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I've always thought, like, wouldn't it be kind of fun if, like, you went to a wedding and you wrote that at the bottom of your card? Like, hey, congrats, guys, 1 Corinthians 7. Those who marry will have many troubles, but too late for you, you know, kind of. Now, listen, the last time I taught on relationships, I did get an email from a woman who was very upset, and she wrote this. She said, Dear Pastor Tim, I'm writing you because I'm at the end of my rope. My husband and I were recently married 11 months, but it's nothing like I expected. He doesn't take the time to talk with me, and I feel like I've been duped. Most nights, he just sits in front of the TV like a vegetable. And when I ask about his day, he just sits and he says nothing. And I confronted him. He got defensive. I said, you know, I expected more emotional support from you. And he said, that's okay. I expected more sex from you. Whoa. I'm so mad at him. I know the Bible frowns on divorce, but we're so different. I wonder if I've made a mistake. Sincerely, married and mad. Anyone relate to this, okay? Show of hands, you can raise your hand, but don't point, all right? That's rude. Now, one of the greatest challenges to modern relationships in 2024 is that our culture no longer respects how God wired men and women differently. That is, watch this, when you take your cues from our culture rather than your creator, you project all these expectations on your spouse. You judge them for what they're not, and then we have conflict. So what I want to do today is set a very simple foundation for understanding male and female differences, but from the perspective of Christ, not the culture, okay? So some of this is going to sound like foreign to you because you're like, you've been listening, you've been watching TV, social media. In Matthew 19, Jesus gave the clearest teaching on the topic of marriage and sex. People asked Jesus, said, hey, this dynamic between men and women, here's what Jesus said. He said, haven't you read, Jesus replied, that at the beginning, the Creator made them what? Male and female. Okay, unpopular opinion. Gender is fixed, not fluid, according to Jesus. This is God's word, okay? This isn't Tim's opinion. He makes a distinction between male and female. And then he says, for this reason, a man's going to leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become what? One flesh. So now he's talking about sexual intimacy, how it unites a husband and a wife. And then Jesus says, so they're no longer two, but they're what? They're one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. Now, show of hands, how many have been to a wedding and heard these words? Okay? The pastor goes, you know, what God has joined together, let no one separate or divide. You may now kiss the bride. And it's this like romantic moment. But married people, you know, after the honeymoon, woo, that's when the real fun begins. Because Jesus is being very clear that God created men and women very differently and they are wired differently. They are physically different. They are emotionally different. And the way God wired their brains is also different. I want to illustrate this for you in a fun way. And I first want to give credit to Mark Gunger. He wrote a hilarious book that's called Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. Have you heard of it? If you like this material, buy his book because I think you need a sense of humor. You got to be able to laugh about this stuff. And Mark Gunger writes, he says, you know, when Jesus says at the beginning, God made a male and female, one of the major distinctions between men and women is how God wired our brains, our brain chemistry. Now, can I just lean in, make a disclaimer real quick. Today, I'm going to paint in very broad brush strokes. I'm going to make some sweeping generalizations about men and women. Obviously, not everyone is the same. You're unique. You're a snowflake. I get it. But by and large, here's what I've noticed. Married ladies, do you know what your husband's brain looks like under a microscope? Like if you were to take an MRI, do you know what you would see? Let me show what the male brain looks like. A male brain looks like a waffle, okay? Take a look. I'm going to show this to you up close here for illustrative purposes. A man's brain, he's a waffle brain, okay? And some of you are like, I knew it. I suspected oatmeal, but it's a waffle. I don't mean a literal waffle. What I mean is this. A man's brain is made up of tiny little boxes. Men have a box for everything in our world. He's got a box for his car, and he's got a box for his job, a box for his fantasy sports league, a box for his kids, and here's the box for your mother living under the stairs. And ladies, there's a very important rule you have to follow. These boxes are never, 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 never allowed to touch. Okay? When men discuss a particular subject, we go into that specific box. We open that box and take out only what's in that box. And then after we're done discussing it, we close the box and put it away, being very, very careful not to touch the other boxes. This is the genius of Waffle Boy. His brain is compartmentalized. You can criticize us, but it's how God wired our brains to work. Men, we like to put things in boxes. On the other hand, I now want to show you how God wired a woman's brain. I just want to take a minute. Lord Jesus, protect me. The female brain is wired very differently than the male brain. If his brain is like a waffle, hers is like spaghetti, where everything is connected to everything. Her job's connected to the money, and the money's connected to the kids, and kids are connected to school, and school's connected to Stacy, her friend. Everything's connected to everything. It's like this big bowl of spaghetti, and here's the trick. All these wires are connected by an energy called emotion. It's one of the reasons women tend to remember everything. Because if you take an event and you connect it to an emotion, it burns in your brain and you remember it forever. Now, the same thing does happen for men, just not as often, because quite frankly, we don't care. All right? Women generally care about everything and she loves it. The trouble happens when Waffle Boy comes up to Spaghetti Girl with a simple question like, hey, did you pick up dinner? Okay? Listen, in Waffle World, it's a simple yes or no question. Simple answer. Check the box. In her world, ain't nothing simple. it is all connected. She says, oh yeah, I went to Trader Joe's and guess who I ran into? Do you remember Tracy? Her brother Rob got engaged to that guy from the gym. Oh, by the way, we have to renew our gym membership. And Jen is best friends with Stacy. She can get us a discount, but she's going through a breakup to this guy, her boyfriend, that total creep. Remember from Super Bowl? It's like the internet. Everything hyperlinks to everything. And it makes the head spin. I know you're laughing right now, because all Waffle Boy wants to know is, do I have to call DoorDash tonight? Do we have dinner? Men, get used to the idea that you're always going to be about 15 minutes behind any conversation with her. And when she talks, this is going to hyperlink. It's waffles and spaghetti. Jesus said, haven't you read? God made him at the beginning different, male and female. Not wrong, just different. Turn to your neighbor and say, not wrong. Now turn to your second choice and say, just different. Just different. The problem is, most men, we have a box in our brains that a lot of women are not aware of. We call this box the nothing box. Do you know what's in this box? Take a guess. Nothing. And out of all the boxes we have in our brain, the nothing box is our favorite box, ladies. Given the chance, a man will go to his nothing box every single time. This is why we can do something completely brain dead for hours. Like video games. We're just like watching Sports Center. And a wife walks in and says, what are you doing? Huh? Nothing. Yeah? Remember what that frustrated wife sent her email? When I ask him about his day, he just sits and he says nothing. Nothing drives a woman more crazy than a man doing nothing. I'll watch Sports Center and Colleen will be like, what you doing? I was like, nothing. What you watching? Nothing. And she just kind of makes this face. Like that. What are you thinking? Nothing. And it drives Spaghetti Girl crazy. It's crazy, stupid love. He's stupid. It's driving me crazy. Because if she sees Waffle Boy sitting there doing nothing, she thinks he's holding out on me. He's got to be thinking about something. But truly, ladies, guess what? It's nothing. That's how waffle men handle stress. We put the situation in a box. We close the lid and open a different box. That's how God wired us. Not wrong, just different. But fellas, that is not how God wired her. You understand when Spaghetti Girl gets stressed? Bro, she got to talk about it. You can't believe he said, you know why? Because if she doesn't talk about it, her brain will literally explode, okay? Who does he think he is? Why would they say it? Her brain goes into hyperdrive because everything is connected. And ladies, understand, this is very scary to us as men. I know guys who run from their wives when the wife shares a problem and they're like, Tim, I don't know what to say. Brother, who told you to talk? But when a woman starts talking about her problems, most men think she's asking for a solution. Spaghetti doesn't want you to fix her. She needs you to feel her. Listen to me. Spaghetti needs to release emotion. She's not like you. If you try to fix her, she's going to kill you. Don't touch the noodles. You get electrocuted. Sometimes you just got to lean in and listen. And ladies, I just acknowledge, this is hard for us. Because men, we have selective hearing. We only hear what fits in our neat little boxes. For instance, imagine your wife gives, her husband a honey-do list. Here's a list of the chores I want my honey to do on Saturday. And take a look. Here's what she says. She says, honey, go to the store, lay down the mulch, wash and wax the car, get the kids at school, rent some videos, and do the rest of the dishes. Listen, Waffle Man runs this through his filter. And do you know what he hears? Let me show you what he hears, okay? This is what we hear. Honey, go lay down and get some rest. Yes, okay, I can do that. I'm going to put that in my little box right here, okay? What I'm really talking about here is a difference between single tasking and multitasking, okay? Again, most men, we have very limited storage space on our hard drives. I can only have one application open at a time. If I'm working on my laptop and Colleen comes and she's like, hey, can you take the garbage out? She might as well have said, can you eat the garbage? I'm like, uh-huh, yeah, okay. It's like Charlie's Brown teacher, wah, 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 because I can't process two things at once. When I'm deep into work, I can't do it. So understand, it's not because we're lazy. It's not because he's uncaring. It's not because he doesn't love you. But God designed it this way. Haven't you heard, Jesus said? God made him male and female. Not wrong, just different. Again, time out. I'm painting in broad brushstrokes, okay? Your relationship may be different. In your relationship, maybe the woman is the waffle, okay? And you're like, oh, the guy has a spaghetti brain. Not everybody's wired the same. I get that. But by and large, what I have found is that women are far superior multitaskers. I remember after we had our first child, our daughter Chase, I remember walking into the kitchen one night, and Colleen is there, and she has the baby on her hip, and she has a phone on her shoulder, and she is stirring chili on the stove. And as she's talking, she sees the dog needs to be let out, and she hops over and opens the door with her foot, gives me a kiss, and goes back to talking. I was like, I married an Avenger. This is a superhero. If I had to do that all at once, I'd like stir the chili with the phone. I'd put the baby in the oven. Forget it. Generally speaking, men have bandwidth for one issue at a time. Now listen very carefully, men. This is not an excuse for you to be rude or to be emotionally unavailable or shut down. Every wise man needs to learn to speak his wife's love language. But the truth is, a lot of people go into marriage and we expect our soulmate to be the mirror image of us. And when they're not, we think, this is crazy. This is stupid. They're so different. What if I made a mistake? The Bible says, no, no, no. You didn't make a mistake. God designed it this way. You're going to have to learn to love somebody who doesn't share your strengths. And watch this. You're going to have to learn to live and love their weaknesses. And that requires Jesus. Right? You're like, I can't do this myself. Exactly. You need a supernatural source of divine love, of supernatural patience, a spirit of forgiveness, a spirit of service. Because the unpopular truth, and again, this goes against the culture, is that marriage, I'm talking about biblical marriage, it's not a contract, it's a covenant. Do you know the difference between a contract and a covenant? You guys know what a contract is. It's a legal agreement where you protect your rights and you limit your responsibilities, right? That's how our culture sees marriage. It's just this contract. I've had people say to me, like, why do we gotta get married, Pastor Tim? Like, what's the big deal? It's a piece of paper, you know? The lawyer draws it up. You protect yourself legally if you're smart. You'll get a prenup, you know? And then if he or she doesn't make me happy, if they require too much, or if we fall out of love, we just break the contract and get divorced. That's how the world sees marriage. But you know how God sees it? The Bible calls marriage a covenant, which is the opposite of a contract. Instead of protecting your rights, limit your responsibility, a covenant is where you actually give up your rights and you take on added responsibilities for somebody else. So in a contract, you stand before a judge and you say, I do, as long as he does or she does. In a covenant, you stand before God and you say, I promise before the Lord to love, honor, and cherish this person. I'm going to spend the rest of my life serving them. Come hell or high water, in sickness and in health, whether we're rich or poor, it doesn't matter. I'm 100% committed to this covenant in Christ because it's not a contract with two people. It's a divine commitment between three parties, man, woman, and their God as witness and guarantor. Can I just tell you, that is a huge source of security. Because each party agrees, you know what, no matter how bad things get, I'm not going anywhere. Colleen and I, we literally locked the box, threw away the key. We're like, divorce isn't an option. Murder, maybe, but not divorce. As a husband, I'm the first to say, you know what, if we're struggling, I'm the man, I'm the leader, I'll get help. I'll be the first to call a counselor. I'm the first to actually see a therapist. I will be the first to apologize in a fight. And when we fight, and by the way, all couples do, we promise, we covenant, we're not going to fight each other. We're going to fight for our marriage because it's the divine covenant. In a covenant, you don't fix the blame, you fix the problem with God's help. Amen? Such a different approach than the world. If you break a contract, you get it, you take it to court. You break a covenant, you take it to God. You actually surrender and ask the judge for grace. Would you give me your power to forgive, forgive, and forgive again? That's what marriage is all about, guys. Call it crazy, call it stupid. But it's a fierce commitment to love the other, flaws and all, even when they drive you nuts, even when they act stupid. You know what that's a picture of? God's unconditional love for you. The Bible calls you and me the bride of Christ. And how does Jesus treat us with all our sins and shortcomings? He says, I love you so much, I'm gonna lay down my whole life for you. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives the way Christ loved the church and died for her. You know what that means? Guys, you gotta learn to listen to spaghetti. And ladies, you need to be okay repeating yourself sometimes. I know people are just like, I just want my man to do what I say instantly. You can get him to do it instantly, just say it three times. He isn't lazy, he's just wired like a waffle. They don't go together on any other menu, but God's like, oh, two become one. Waffles and spaghetti, you get waffle-getty. Yeah. Doesn't that look good? Who wants a waffle, by the way? You want a waffle? Come on. Pay attention, the fourth row. Over here. Who wants a waffle? Over here. Oh, yeah. Going far. Oh, going long. Now, I realize there are some dating couples here who are like, man, if marriage is such trouble, why bother, Tim? For millennials in particular, obviously, marriage is on the decline. Living together is now the norm. Let me read a second email I got from Single and Skeptical. This is from a guy who wrote this. He said, hey, Tim, quick question. I'm thinking about asking my girlfriend to move in with me. Growing up, I was taught living together is a sin, but I've searched the Bible and can't find a verse to support that. Good job. You open your Bible. That's amazing. Honestly, I'm serious. That's good. Honestly, in today's culture, living together seems to make a lot of sense. It's cheaper, we can save money, saves on time and travel, we drive or sleep over anyway. Plus, why not try something out before making a long-term commitment? And then he says, this is so true, marriage has changed in my generation, and the Bible seems outdated when it comes to rules like this. Thanks for your time, Single and Skeptical. P.S., I took the risk to ask you this because I think you're an honest dude and won't judge me. Good news, I am not gonna judge you, all right? But I do wanna tell you the truth from God's perspective. There comes a moment when you have to decide, am I going to follow the culture or am I gonna follow Christ? Because cultural norms have changed radically in the last even 5 years, 10 years, 15. As more and more adults delay marriage, the number living together has exploded exponentially. Take a look at this recent survey. This is, again, a secular study. It showed it is now more common to live together than get married. So if you look at adults age 18 to 44, 59% have lived with an unmarried partner at some point, where only 50% have been married. And you see the difference in 15 years. Cultural norms have shifted away from the biblical norm of covenant marriage. But now watch this. The same study says married adults, notice, have much higher levels of trust, honesty, and relational satisfaction than couples who live together. That's because statistically speaking, living together is a disaster. Couples who actually live together before marriage are 50% more likely to divorce than those who live separately prior to marriage. Again, that's not the Bible, guys. That's secular research. Now, why is that? I think we see God's answer in 1 Corinthians 7, where the Apostle Paul teaches about the gift of singleness and the gift of marriage. And he brings up this thorny topic of sex. Corinthians had a lot of questions about sex. So can we talk about sex right now? Okay. Woo. Okay. Someone just woke up over here. Parents, heads up. This part of the Bible is PG-13, but honestly, I think this is very relevant to your kids because they're growing up in Corinth, a hypersexual culture that says anything goes, swipe right, hook up, it's a new normal. Into that cultural chaos, the Bible gives us very candid counsel. Paul writes this. He says, now, getting down to the questions you asked in your letter to me. First, is it a good thing to have sexual relations? Certainly, he says, but only within a certain context. It's good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. And look what he writes here. He says, sexual drives are strong, but marriage is strong enough to contain them and provide for a balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. Does that describe our modern world? Like just total upside down sexual confusion and chaos. Everybody does what they feel like. You do you. The problem is it's selfish to the core. What do I want? What do I desire? Whereas here's what the Bible says. Now, the marriage bed must be a place of what? Mutuality. It's give and take. The husband seeking to satisfy the wife. The wife seeking to satisfy her husband. And then Paul writes this, I love this. Marriage is not a place to stand up for your rights, Marriage is a decision. Can we read it together? Marriage is a decision to what? Serve the other, whether in bed or out. Again, look how different Christ is from the culture. Culture says, how do I get what I want? Christ says, how do I sacrifice myself to serve you? How do I lay down my rights? Sex, it turns out, in God's eyes, is a way for husbands and wives to serve each other. The question is, how does that work for waffles and spaghetti? Let me show you something. For waffle boys, see this box? Sex is our biggest box. It's the only box that's open 24/7, all right? Some of you are like, oh, they're just women, that's disgusting, you know. It's not because we're dirty. It's not because we're perverted. God designed us this way. He filled our body with this chemical called testosterone. Okay? Here's a basic biological fact. Here's biology. For men, sexual interest peaks around age 18, and then it goes down from there. In fact, let me draw this for you. I want to show you the science behind this. Are you ready? If you were to scientifically chart the sex drive of a man, it would look something like this. Sexual interest peaks at the age of 18, and then for the rest of his life, it steadily goes down. Down, 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 down. It just plummets, and then you're dead. That's it, okay? That's the science right here, okay? This is important for you ladies to understand. When it comes to this area, we are not driven by our drain, by our brain, or our hearts, but by this chemical called testosterone. And it runs through our veins and drives us crazy, and we say stupid stuff. It keeps the sex box open 24/7. In fact, if you women knew how much this drove us crazy, you'd be more disgusted with us than you are right now, okay? And while this, I get it, this chart is funny, but this chart is true. You have to understand, it's not because we're sickos or perverts. God wired us this way on purpose. Again, I'm painting in broad brushstrokes. It is a gender stereotype to say, you know, men are always more interested in sex than women. In fact, I just acknowledge this. It's possible you're here today, and maybe you're married to a woman who's more interested in sex than you are. And you know what? If you're here today and your wife is more interested in sex than you are, I think I speak for the rest of the men here when I say, we hate you, right? Oh, I'm gonna get emails this week. No, we hate you in Christ, okay. But marriage between a man and a woman, Paul writes, it's God's given outlet for sex. He says it's good for a man to have a wife and for a woman to have a husband. Sexual drives are strong, that testosterone. But listen, marriage is strong enough to contain them and provide for a what? What's it say? A balanced and fulfilling sexual life in a world of sexual disorder. See, guys, when you have a covenant of a Christ-centered marriage, there's this mutual give and take between the husband and the wife. Now, to explain this, I want to draw something. I want to give a simple anatomy lesson. I'm going to keep this PG-13. Let's call this the girl's heart. Everyone say heart. Okay? Everyone say joy. This is her joy spot. Okay? Turn to your neighbor. No, don't turn to your neighbor. Just focus. Eyes up here. Eyes up here. Now, here's the deal, guys. On a basic level, this is one of the husband's primary interests in his wife. I'm just telling you the truth here, okay? It's true. And you women, you say, that's terrible. It shouldn't be about that. It should be about love and companionship. Ladies, let me tell you something. If all we wanted was love and companionship, we'd get a golden retriever and be done with it, okay? He's supposed to be interested in this. It's not dirty. It's the way God wired him. But what most men fail to understand, watch this, is that the key to this is first touching this. And all the ladies said, amen. And if a man, a husband, first touches this, the wife is going to give him the green light, and now he gets to touch this, and the circuit is complete. Do you see? Biologically, I'm not fooling. Biologically, the male sex drive is God's way of reminding that man to love his wife. This is how women are wired. It just is. On average, the average married man will feel the need for sexual release every 72 hours. okay? For some of you, 72 minutes, that's your problem. Praying for you, Clint. That's okay. The reason this keeps repeating is to motivate the man. Hey, waffle boy, wake up. Wake up. It's be kind to the girl. Be tender. Don't just lean in and go like, hey, you awake? That's don't be stupid. Be sweet to the girl. Love spaghetti girl. If you want sauce on your spaghetti, you better learn to speak your love language. You know, one night I took Colleen shopping at the mall, and she goes into the fitting room, you know, trying on this dress. And I go outside the dressing room, and I sit on the bench to wait. And guess what? There's five other husbands sitting there on that bench. We're all sitting there looking at our phones. We got our nothing box open. Do you know why? Because we're all secretly hoping Friday is spaghetti night. This is why I clean the garage. This is why I clean up the dog's poop. I load the dishwasher. Because a lot of stuff that touches this eventually traces back to that. This is not basic biology. This is basic Bible. And you can judge me. But this is a huge part of how marriage works. Is this true, men? Now let me talk to the single ladies. Single ladies, all the single ladies. Ladies, the problem is this. Listen to me. I say this with great care, okay? You are getting lied to by the culture. When a woman, a single woman, gives this to a man before marriage, you are literally taking away all his motivation to serve you, take responsibility, and sacrifice his life. Because you're saying, you know what? Let's do it backwards. Sex first hopefully will lead to marriage. It's backwards of how God designed it. I want you to think about this. Use common sense. Say you're remodeling your kitchen, and the contractor says, I'm going to do a great job. I just need you to pay me up front. I want all the money up front in advance. Would you give it to him? No way! Not New Jersey. Why? Because you lose all your leverage. If you pay him up front, what's the chance he's going to show up on time, follow through, complete the job? No. I mean, you and I just like, yeah, we get this. He's going to cut corners. He may show up late. He may not show up at all. He won't do what he promised. You know why? Because it's human nature. If you give a guy 100% of what he wants up front, you take away his God-given motivation. You only reward him after he demonstrates commitment to finish the job. The problem is that our culture has sold you a lie, single ladies. You are giving this away for nothing without the covenant of marriage first. So single ladies, understand, again, I'm not making you feel bad, but I'm just trying to speak truth like a father I would to my own daughter. When you hook up with your honey, you are undermining that man's God-given motivation to sacrificially serve you. You just gave him all the benefits of marriage with none of the responsibility. And then you wonder, oh, why won't he commit? Why won't he marry me? Why should he? You gave him everything he wants already. You got to make him earn it, girls. If he likes it, then he should have put a ring on it. Amen? First book of Beyonce. Now listen, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, okay? If you're sexually active, and I know some of you are, if you are sleeping with your boyfriend or girlfriend, and I know many of you are, if you're living together, I know many of you are, my job isn't to judge you. Grace wins. We love you. You are welcome here at this church. But I am going to tell you God's truth. You know why? Because truth is relevant. And truth can change your life. For men, this whole thing works in reverse. This is men's, right? Every woman wants access to her husband's heart. What are you feeling? What are you thinking? Share your deep... What many wives don't understand is that the key to this is this. And if you touch this first, he gonna give you the green light and you get to go touch this. And look at this, the circuit is complete. This is why the Bible says sex should be celebrated frequently within marriage. Did you know that? Some of you are like, what verse is this? Let me take notes suddenly. Look what Paul writes. He says the marriage bed must be a place of what? Mutuality. Look at it, give and take. The husband, look at this. Seeking to satisfy his wife, and the wife seeking to satisfy her husband. Marriage isn't a place to stand up for your rights. Marriage is a decision to serve the other, whether in bed or out. So understand, ladies, when you prioritize sex with your husband, you earn extraordinary goodwill. It is literally like a hotline to his heart. Back in the day, they used to say this. They used to say, you ever hear this one? The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Yeah. I think they were about 6 inches too high. Okay? I'm just telling you the truth. I'm breaking this down. The key to what you want, this is her access point. For wives, the key to what you want, here's his access point. That's not my opinion. I know some of you are like, Pastor Tim, such a pig. I am breaking down the Bible for you. Look what the Bible tells married couples. Isn't the Bible awesome? The Bible's like, all right, you're not going to have sex, a sexless marriage. Listen. Abstaining from sex is permissible for a period of time if you what? Both agree to it. And it's for the purposes of what? Crime and punishment. No. The purpose of what? Prayer and fasting. But only for such times, then you come back together again. In other words, the Bible says never, never, never withhold sex from your spouse. Don't use it to punish them. Unless you both decide to abstain for a spiritual purpose. But then once you're done with your prayer session, you get back at it. Why would the Bible say this? Why would God's word say this? Finish the verse. Satan? Who are we talking about Satan? We're talking about sex. Satan has an ingenious way of tempting us when we least expect it. In other words, when the husband or the wife withholds sex, Satan gets a foothold in the relationship. You know, I was thinking this week, like how ironic that is. I mean, think about it. Before marriage, the devil do all he can to get a couple into bed. And then after marriage, the devil do anything he can to keep them out of it. So let me be very clear, ladies, here, what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. The Bible isn't saying like, oh, the man is king. He's king of the jungle. He should get it any time he feels the urge. I'm not saying that. Scripture assumes you're married to a normal, healthy, Christ-loving man with the Holy Spirit inside of him. That's who Paul's writing to. He's not dirty. He's not perverted. It's just part of the way you fill his love tank. And when you serve each other this way, guess what? You both get more of what you desire, and that's a win-win in God's eyes for both of you. Waffles and spaghetti. You remember what Jesus said? He said, they're no longer two, but they're what? They're one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. On any other menu, they don't go together, guys, but in God's kitchen, ooh, perfectly paired waffle-getty. That's how God designed it. You can call it crazy. You can call it stupid. But God calls it love. Amen? Let's bow our heads for prayer right now, just at our campuses. I know some of you are sweating. Just bow your heads with me, and let me pray over you. Jesus, thank you for your truth. Lord, your word is so powerful. And your love for us, Jesus, is the gold standard for loving relationships. I thank you, Lord, for these dear brothers and sisters of mine. Lord, we want to love more like you, but we need your help. And so, Father, I want to pray for married couples here. If you're a married couple, would you just kind of stretch out your palms of your hand, open your hands, just in the posture of receiving. I want to pray a blessing on you. Father, I pray for every married couple. I pray that even the Holy Spirit now would supernaturally be giving them a spirit of sacrifice and service. Lord, I pray that you would even kindle a new desire to put their spouse's need ahead of their own, just like Jesus. Father, for those who are in hurting marriages, would you open conversations today that lead to healing? Give them hope, Lord. Help those who are struggling. And if you're a dating couple right now, just open your hands. I want to pray a blessing over you. Father, I pray for every couple who is dating or even singles right now who would love to be married someday. Lord, in a culture that says do whatever you want, Lord, I pray for boldness and for sexual integrity. Give them the courage to put Christ first in their relationship. Father, I pray right now for couples who are living together. Lord, let them not feel judged, but let them feel convicted. Holy Spirit, give them a renewed, this is an opportunity to renew their commitment to honor you and even move towards marriage. We commit all of our relationships to you in Jesus' name. Everyone said together, amen, amen. All right, church, who wants a waffle? Come on, this is our Oprah moment. You get a waffle, you get a waffle, you get a waffle. Share that with Spaghetti Girl. We'll see you guys next week for part two of Crazy Stupid Love.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want to check out Liquid Church for a weekend service, small group, outreach, or clean water trip, you can find out more about us online at liquidchurch.com. And if you enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and subscribe or share it with your friends. Thanks again for listening.